Mini episode 699 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 699. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris. We are starting a two-part series culminating with mini episode 700. In 699 today, we are looking back at the February 29th time capsule. We instituted this February 29th, 2012, a series of predictions on what would happen between February 29th, 2012 and February 29th, 2016. Number 700 is going to be our predictions for the next time, February 29th, 2016 to February 29th, 2020. The same four individuals who participated in the first one have participated in the second one along with three other participants. We'll get to that with number 700 with the predictions that we're making for next time around. But this is going to be a bookend to our discussion from February 29th, 2012 when we first made the predictions. The four people in the FDH Lounge making the predictions at the time, three of us are original FDH Lounge dignitaries dating back to our first show on January 14, 2007, myself and my good friends Nate Noy and Chris Galloway, as well as Ron Glasnack, who actually predates the FDH Lounge with FDH. Of course, the show Reality Check, that was sort of a precursor to the FDH Lounge, albeit a sports-only version, myself, Ron Glasnack, Dave Adams on the Sports Talk Network from 2003 to 2005. So the four of us participated both of these times, and as I said, we had a couple of other folks making predictions for this time as well. But as we did last time, I am gathering here today with FDH Lounge original dignitary and FDH Director of Research, Nate Noy, to go over the predictions that were made and how everything shook out over the last 4 years. So, Nate, it was a lot of fun to do this last time, and it's great to be able to look back, a historical bookend to what we said 4 years ago. How are you doing today, buddy?
Doing great, Rick. I cannot believe it's been 4 years. Feels like 6 months or something, doesn't it? 4 years, that's insane.
It really does. It really does. And in looking at this year, we tried to do it like how the FDH Lounge is itself. Nothing is off topic. We tried to kind of spray it out a little bit here as far as different types of categories, some sports, some non-sports. We had 7 questions last time. We're doing 10 questions this time around. So when we do 700, we'll be going over more categories. But this was the first time we did it. It was sort of a pilot program. There were only a couple of us that were making the predictions. And again, it's very interesting to get into that to see how it went. The first category that we had was pro and college teams to win more than one title in that four-year time period between February 29th, 12, and 16. The teams that did so, the Miami Heat, the San Francisco Giants, the Chicago Blackhawks, and the Alabama Crimson Tide football team here. So out of the four major sports in this country and college hoops and college football, we did see four of the six teams succeed at that. There were some other teams that came a little bit close, and one of the teams that did, actually, you predicted them, the Kentucky Hoops team with John Calipari. I did. Chris Galloway did. So three of the four of us predicted them. They just barely missed it by losing a second national championship game. That was Chris's only prediction, actually. He thought they would be the only team. All the rest of us made multiple predictions, but it did not happen in college basketball this time around, Nate.
No, and we saw, you know, that Kentucky team was unstoppable last year, and it's just impossible to do it, you know. And they only had 1 year with Anthony Davis. Had he come back another season, obviously they probably would have easily made that happen. You know, think about it. Anthony Davis should be, what, a rookie in the NBA this year? He's one of the top five players now. So that's, you know, that's what they had going for him back then. But it's kind of staggering that, you know, actually, it's somewhat surprising we did get four teams out of those categories. But, you know, like you said, basketball, the NBA tournament, the NBA, the NCAA tournament is the closest. The only thing harder than that to win a game would probably be the Super Bowl tournament, if you agree. I mean,
probably. And again, you'll note that nobody made it the last time around here. Seattle came within one ill-advised play on the goal line from repeating, and I don't know that back then that they could have been on our radar for doing it, because it was the 2012 season where they really kind of broke out. That was the first one, I think, with Russell Wilson anyway. So we couldn't have even forecast Seattle being the team to come so close on that. There's a team that's perennially close to accomplishing this as far as two titles. I already said that Chris's only pick was Kentucky Hoops. The only pick that Ron made, in addition to a successful pick, Ron Glasnap picked North Carolina Hoops. They came just barely short. He and you both picked the Miami Heat. So both of you picked two teams to make it. You were right on one, as was he. The Miami Heat was the one that did it. Of course, this being the LeBron years there, where they were able to get the job done. So Miami being the first one of the ones thus far where we assign a point to you and to Ron.
Isn't it great to look back and say the Miami Heat back in the LeBron years?
Yeah.
As opposed to Matt present LeBron years. So that's, you know, and obviously at that point with that team, you could see that coming. At least I felt that way. The that team was unstoppable, but now it's really deteriorated, obviously, and actually pretty much everybody on that team has gone way downhill except for LeBron. And it really is hard to have a team that's consistently really good and actually could, you know, repeat as a titleist over a four-year span. But I am curious, did anybody pick any teams that are at this point like losing record teams, or do we all at least have teams that are very competitive 4 years out?
Those are all the picks thus far. I haven't gotten to mine yet, but so far with all of you guys, you guys all were pretty respectable on this. With Ron with North Carolina, they're pretty much a perennial contender. Kentucky Hoops, you guys came very close. You guys were both right on the Miami Heat. I think even on mine, I think you could say I came relatively close. I had only one that was correct. I had Kentucky Hoops, which was not correct. I had Alabama football, which that was the latest one to notch a point out of any of these ones here. They got in just under the wire for me. I was the last person in any category to notch anything being awarded a point based on this year's college football playoff, which, by the way, is a system that we were unfamiliar with at this point in time. I think it was set that there were going to be changes in 2014 going forward, but we didn't quite know how the playoff was going to play out, which we have seen. But Alabama has won it under both the BCS and the playoff system now. I missed on the other two picks, but both of these teams have been at least very respectable, the Green Bay Packers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Neither one of them won even one championship in the last 4 years, and I find that to be very, very, very surprising. I thought they'd both be good for one, if not the two. Green Bay, again, they have squandered a decent amount of Aaron Rodgers' prime with these kind of near misses after getting a title relatively early on. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, you would have thought that Durant would have gotten one by now, and something we couldn't have foreseen 4 years ago is the insane emergence of Russell Westbrook. They have possibly two of the five best players in the league, and they're still looking for their first title.
Yeah, and obviously the Harden trade in retrospect probably wasn't a great call. And, you know, as you said, Alabama football, they've got no salary cap down there. They can spend what they want to bring those kids in. So go ahead to the next item.
Absolutely. We've got the most titles in individual sports. So this is the most major titles that anyone is going to notch, as well as in NASCAR, if anybody was going to win two titles in 4 years. So we lumped these in together. So this is men's tennis, women's tennis, PGA, most titles in those, and is anyone going to notch two in NASCAR? As far as NASCAR goes, all of us were wrong because nobody did it. All four of us made a pick in that category. What's interesting is you and I, Nate, we went with, again, the guy who's been the best driver of this era. He notched one title in the last 4 years, as well as, I believe, the five beforehand, Jimmy Johnson. So he is the closest anybody came. Very interesting. Ron and Chris both picking Carl Edwards, who did not even win one title in the last 4 years. And spoiler alert, Nobody's picking him for the next 4 years in this category. So we may have already seen the best of Carl Edwards as far as his prime goes. You know, I think he seems likely to get a title somewhere along the line, but he no longer looks like the multi-title guy he did 4 years ago.
Yeah, and Rick, if you look at Daytona last week, again, we're recording this right after Daytona, right before leap year. The Gibbs team, though, I mean, it's incredible how far ahead they are of all NASCAR at this point. You know, they have, not only do they have Denny Hamlin and Kenseth and Edwards and Kyle Busch, who did win the title last year, they've also partnered this year with Martin Truex Jr., who finished second last week. And it's amazing that at the end of that race, four of their five drivers, besides Edwards, were right there in the top four. It's insane. And they kind of last year in the middle of the NASCAR season emerged. They won a lot of races in a row. Kyle Busch won a lot of races in a row. Somehow Gibbs has that team on all four cylinders clicking every single week. And I think one of the big up, you know, the things that Edwards has to look up at is the fact that Kyle Busch might be the best driver. Right now, Denny Hamlin's probably the hottest driver. His teammates are phenomenal. So not only does he have to beat the rest of NASCAR, which might not be as difficult, he's got to get by three teammates, and Truex, who is a, you know, de facto teammate at this point because they're using the same equipment, to get by those guys. I don't see Carl Edwards winning a title anytime soon, because I think it's going to probably come from that Gibbs staple of drivers this next season. And like I said, I mean, in terms of talent, I love Kyle Busch. Denny Hamlin right now is the hottest guy in NASCAR. He went out and over the weekend before the Atlanta race, he had the fastest practice. We'll see how that race turns out. And it's going to be interesting how, you know, if that team could just continue to dominate. That's where Jimmy Johnson was 4 years ago in Hendrick Motorsports team. You know, it's come out of a time period with Gordon always at the top, and Jimmy kind of took over and was just a completely dominant driver for a long period of time. He's still really, really good, but he's a gambler. You know, he'll do crazy things on the track to make moves to try to win races. And if you look at Jimmy Johnson, a good 5-6 times a year, he's going to finish in the bottom three because he's going to wreck that car.
That's right.
He had a few too many misplays to not win him multiple championships. He did get the one, I believe. But, you know, NASCAR's a tough sport, and now they've changed the game a little bit on us since the last time we did this. You know, there's 36 teams with guaranteed spots every week, and it'll be interesting to see how the sport continues to evolve in the next 4 years.
It certainly will. And when you look at I'm going to go to a category now where only two of us made picks. We picked the same person, and we were both wrong. Women's tennis, this is, again, much along the lines of Carl Edwards. This is somebody that didn't notch even one major. Both Chris and myself going with Caroline Wozniacki, who did not get even that first major. We thought she would get over the hump, and we thought that once that happened that she would continue to kind of accrue them. And who knows, had she broken through, it could have led to more, but I don't think anybody would have caught the one who did notch this in this category, who none of us predicted, of course, Serena Williams. And what is very kind of strange about this is that you look at it, and I think it was sort of the chalk thing to do with not taking her 4 years ago, because the primes don't last this long in tennis. Nobody gets into their mid-30s and is as good as they've ever been or arguably even better, and that is going to be one of the defining things about her career. You look at Roger Federer on the men's side, and you're seeing a little bit more of the natural arc, even if he's been great longer than most. But none of us saw Serena coming. A couple of us saw Caroline Wozniacki coming, and we were wrong on both counts.
Yeah, and Serena certainly has established a legacy that's going to be hard for anybody to match in the future. As you said, you know, most studies show the athletic prime for most athletes is around the age of 27. To peak later than that is virtually unheard of, especially in an individual sport like tennis. So it is, you know, I'd call it shocking, and a legacy is certainly legitimized in stone forever. You know, look back in 20 years from now, five episodes of this from now, and you'll be like, wow, look at the crazy stuff.
Well, and you talk about taking the baton here, which we thought that Caroline Wozniacki would do with Serena Williams. There was a little bit of that. It's interesting on the men's side, because you've had three dominant players in a row that have come up since Roger Federer's breakthrough in 2003. You've got Roger Federer, and then Rafael Nadal came to kind of eclipse him, and then subsequently Novak Djokovic. It's very interesting in this. Again, there were only three of us that were making predictions on men's tennis on that one here. You had Rafael Nadal at that point in time. Myself and Chris went with Novak Djokovic, projecting the next 4 years, thinking that, again, he would clearly become the better player of the two. That was kind of a fascinating one to see how it played out. And Novak Djokovic, of course, did take the baton over the last 4 years, establish himself as being number one, and part of that is our metric of having the most titles over the last 4 years, the most major titles.
You know, it's an individual sport like tennis where you have a bad day and your tournament ends. You know, you don't have anybody that helps carry you. In NASCAR, you can have a bad day and your pit crew may be the fastest pit crew and you still can finish in the top five. In tennis, it's all on you, baby. It was, like you said, tight contest, though. And to think about it, more than half the titles over 4 years went to two individuals. That's also what I would consider almost somewhat surprising, in that two guys were kind of able to run away from the herd. So.
Yeah, they did. More power to them, because they were definitely very strong competitors over that stretch of time. The last one we have to look at in the individual sports here is the PGA, and that was one where you and I both racked up a point where we both picked Rory McIlroy to have the most majors in the PGA over the last couple of years, and we were right on that. An interesting one with Chris, and I kind of raised my eyebrow at the time that he thought Phil Mickelson was going to have enough juice over the next 4 years to be the guy, and ultimately Mickelson really didn't. McIlroy kind of, I would say, ran away with this one, although on the back end, Jordan Spieth made it kind of close. But you and I were right. We each get a point for being right about Rory McIlroy, most major PGA titles in the last 4 years.
Had we even heard of Jordan Spieth 4 years ago?
No.
No, not even on the radar at that point. That's interesting. You know, over a course of 4 years, what can change in a sport, especially an individual sport? You know, the best thing since sliced bread could come along 2 years from now. We never even heard of him today. It really makes a competition like this extremely hard to predict when things can come out of nowhere and you're talking multiple years down the line. So, it's, you know, solid that McIlroy held on. I certainly wouldn't pick him over the next 4 years, but we'll get into that on the next episode. So,
yes, we're going to cover that one as well, and that's going to be an interesting debate. The next category is pretty cut and dried here. It's good to have a couple of these ones that are, for the way that we're dissecting the other ones. Will UFC surpass the 1970s peak of boxing? All four of us replied no. And again, while this is somewhat of a judgment call for me awarding points, I'm going to go ahead and give us all a point for being right about that one, because certainly what we have seen with UFC is nowhere near the Muhammad Ali on Wide World of Sports with Howard Cosell heyday that we saw in the mega fights of the 1970s. UFC has continued to really kind of thump boxing pretty strongly, with the exception of the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight over the last 4 years. But again, that was the only real major bullet that boxing had left to fire. So this one's pretty cut and dried. We were right about this. One of the things you said, I was listening to how we covered this 4 years ago, you said that it's different than the age of three major networks, less entertainment choices, no smartphones for distractions, etc. And you said, just because the modern world is different, you wouldn't think of voting yes in this one. So we all had our own reasons, but we were all right.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I think they've kind of done a little wrong with UCF, I've kind of followed it myself a little more recently, but too much of it's pay-per-view. You can't watch it for free. When they show it on Fox Sports or whatever network might have it, I'll tune in and check it out, but they're missing a golden opportunity to build a base of fans that aren't there yet, because they might get pay money to watch it. And who's going to pay $50-$60 for something they've never seen before if they heard it's good? If it's not a marquee matchup where the whole world's talking about it, you're not going to, you know, fork over that kind of money. I think they really need to move more towards more free TV for people to look at, you know, to get really involved. And as you said, the Manny the Pacquiao fight, Mayweather, that was probably the goal, the of the last 4 years in UCF /boxing, and that wasn't free, but that got all the hype in the world, and UCF doesn't have an event that's going to bring in that kind of. They should continue to build that base up by giving more of these events away for free where you can watch them on Fox instead of paying, you know, $50 for the undercard, $40 for the main fight. That's your sport, in my opinion.
Yeah, and again, you're getting to see a decent amount of UFC on Fox and on Fox Sports 1. They're doing some more of it then, and they've also now got their own WWE Network type deal where you can subscribe to watch online with some other fights. But so they're diversifying a little bit. But yeah, you're right about that. You got to kind of really be a hardcore UFC fan to want to get into the pay-per-views. No question about that. Up next, speaking of things costing money to watch, highest grossing movie star of the last 4 years. All of us were wrong. Keeping in mind that for this and for the musical act, we always leave available the choice of someone not yet on the radar. None of us availed ourselves of that, but that would have been the winning call because, and again, it's my judgment call on this as far as, I'm going to say Daisy Ridley because I believe she was probably the headline star in the latest Star Wars movie, and of course that one grossed the most movie. I don't think any of us at the time knew that when the release was going to be on that. What's very interesting is trying to think 4 years down the road on the releases. Ron was off by about a year or so. At the time, perhaps it was thought that there would be an Avatar movie in the next 4 years. Ron said it would be Sam Worthington and the Avatar sequel. He may be right about that for the next 4 years, potentially, although I think Star Wars will probably continue to eclipse it, but it just didn't happen this time around. Chris Galloway said that it would be George Clooney in an animated movie to be named later. And that didn't happen either, but that was an interesting choice. I said Johnny Depp, just because he seems to find his way into a fair number of big box office movies. So I was just kind of going for somewhat of a chalkish kind of a pick. That didn't happen. Yours was the most creative, Nate. You said you thought Justin Bieber would break over into the movie thing here, Shades of Elvis perhaps, and start working in the entertainment industry on that side, and that his legions of Bieber boppers would follow him to the movies and make it the highest grossing movie of the last 4 years. That didn't happen, but it was an interesting scenario.
Boy, am I glad that didn't happen. And I think the Bieber era is about to come to an end, if it hasn't already. You know, and it's funny, Rick, you talk about this category. You and I had a discussion maybe 7-8 months ago about what currently was number one, and obviously we did not foresee another Star Wars movie coming out 4 years ago. And even 7 months ago, we weren't sure that something would eclipse Jurassic Park, right? I mean, one of the Jurassic movies where that was far and away ahead. But we had the discussion like, well, isn't Star Wars coming? And sure enough, it had plenty of time to wipe out a lot of records in the short period it's been since that movie was released. And now we're on February 29th around the corner. So,
well, and you talk about someone not yet on the radar. I want to talk about that a second more, which is what's interesting, because you mentioned Jurassic Park, and that is what Star Wars very late in the game eclipsed over the course of the last 4 years. We would have said someone not yet on the radar for that one, even though he wasn't anonymous 4 years ago, because, again, I'm a huge Parks and Rec fan. I'm a Parks and Rec completist. I love that show. I'm a big Chris Pratt fan. I loved him in Moneyball. He had kind of a hilarious role in Moneyball. I'm a big Chris Pratt guy, but he was, what, fifth from the top on Parks and Recreation? Somewhere in that ballpark anyways. Maybe as time went along, maybe he got a little closer to the top spot, but it's interesting. How does a guy go from being fifth to the top on a sitcom to the number one movie star of the last 4 years? It's an unpredictable business, and again, you know, he was the man to beat, and ultimately he did get taken down, but number one and number two over the last 4 years, if you're talking chalk picks, big box office chalk picks 4 years ago, these two were nowhere near the top of the list.
And that's amazing, and who knows what the next 4 years could bring. You know, obviously now we have some, we'll talk again more about that in the next show, but it's a vacation that the series, it just took home number one. This may be around again, but, you know, 4 years is a long period to look ahead, as we know.
It is. Especially in the entertainment industry. Oh, it's super challenging to go that far down the road. Similarly, we tried to do this with highest-selling musical act of the last 4 years, and there is only one of us of the four who hazarded a specific guess. Ron hazarded the guess of Beyonce, which was not correct, but that's always a pretty good chalk pick. You, me, and Chris Galloway said someone not yet on the radar. That did not prove to be the case because an album that was released before the February 29, 2012 deadline, the year before, actually, kept selling and selling and selling and selling, and then subsequently, not long ago, there was another album that came out and was selling very big. Adele by far the biggest selling musical act of the last 4 years. And again, it might have been a little bit hard to get a grip on at that period of time. We probably all underestimated the legs of that album. And had we known that it was going to take her that long to put another one out, I think that would have just reinforced us saying, oh, well, see, it's not going to be her. But it was, based on the residual, longstanding strength of that album and the pent-up demand and the way that the next album subsequently sold.
That's amazing, too. And I remember back in the 2012 draft of the NBA, they used the Adele music as the backdrop, and you complained to me multiple times about how much you hated that nonsense. And then all of a sudden, you know, here she is, 4 years later, biggest star on the planet. Glad you didn't like that there, Rick, for the 2012 backdrop for the NBA draft. So you do remember that,
yeah.
Right?
I do remember that. I remember complaining about it. Pretty much. But the thing ends up going to her. So this is another category where no points are awarded to anybody because none of us were right on this. The next category, this is where it gets kind of interesting. Who will be president of the United States February 29th, 2016? Well, again, as you alluded to, we're recording this slightly before February 29th, 2016, not long before, 2 days, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume that as of Monday, it is still going to be Barack Obama, which will that will lead to points being awarded to myself, to you, and to Ron Glasnap. And I know, again, as all of us said at the time, this isn't what we're rooting for, but based on the fact that it looked like it was going to go to Mitt Romney on the other side and he was a loser, we pretty much all saw that coming. Unfortunately, the Republican Party didn't, but that's not our fault. We called it. We were right about it. Chris Galloway, who can be very creative with his picks for these things here, he was foreseeing the brokered convention scenario in 2012, which, by the way, spoiler alert, as he is for this year, too, that's going to be one of the more entertaining picks this time around. Actually, no, his scenario is different even than that, but it's not the conventional scenario of just a short list of people who are even presently running for president. He's going off the board on that one. But he was figuring a brokered convention 4 years ago. And looking around at who looked to be on paper, somebody with a strong resume, strong raison d'etre for being president of the United States, Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, who I was ragging on him a couple months ago. I said, Chris, you realize when we're doing the recap show, I'm going to have to bring up that the only thing Bob McDonnell is president of now is cell block B. Because, yes, Chris Galloway predicted a governor who subsequently didn't even run for president in 2012, but was convicted of fraud and is now in jail. So I give him credit. I don't want to rag on him because I'm going to give anybody credit for sticking their neck out. It's just funny as hell the way that shook out, Nate. You just can't deny it.
I would say that we have an award as irony, most polar opposite of your prediction. There's your winner. You can't get much more opposite the president than being in jail. Right, there you go.
Yeah.
He gets that award. And it's hard to do. I mean, that's way, you know, that's some bad luck. So.
Yeah, and by the way, no points will be awarded for the fact that I'm sure some inmate has at some point sarcastically referred to him as Mr. President. I'm sorry, that doesn't mean we're going to give you the points for that one. You actually have to be president.
I'm going to stay clear of that all together. Crossing the line, Derek, crossing the line.
Oh, man, that is amazing. So three of us get points on that one for being right. We go to the final category now. What will be the most noteworthy technological advance of the next 4 years, or a major one? We didn't say the one, but just put something out there. It's going to be a major one. This is one that is, again, a judgment call for me doing grades. I awarded points to all three of you guys, but not to myself, because I even said it at the time. I called it, Nate. I said, this is a homer pick, but I said, I want this. I said, science, get on the ball. I want my jetpack, and I want it in the next 4 years. And as they had for every 4 years previously, science failed me. There are no commercial jetpacks out there. I am very disappointed in science. I award myself no points. I was a homer. I voted with my heart instead of my head, and I was wrong about that.
Can you imagine a world where people actually have jetpacks, Rick? How dangerous that would be for the rest of us if they don't have one, or even if we tried to use one ourselves? Now, if you get President Trump, it might happen, right? You just throw regulation out the window, throw safety out the window. You may get a chance at it with President Trump. Otherwise, you know, the government's going to put the brakes on that one, I think. So.
Well, it's funny, too, because just to break kayfabe a little bit, I've referred to this previously off air. In terms of a previous day job situation that was located on the other side of the freeway from my home, but basically not almost no distance south of where I'm at. I always used to say, you know, it takes me about 10 minutes to drive there with the traffic lights. I go south, then I make a right turn, then I make a right turn on the other side of the freeway. If I had a jetpack, I could be there in 3 minutes. I leave from my front porch, I fly off from there. Granted, I'd have to fly over the highway, which some people would find daunting, but it was close to a straight shot. I was like, damn it, if I had my jetpack, I could go right to work that way, Nate. That would have been something.
That's fabulous. But think about this. They found a way to regulate drones, unmanned jetpacks. Well, how much regulation would they put on a jetpack, man?
Well, and I've seen a thing, too, now where there are, I guess, law enforcement fears that ISIS is going to try to get drones involved in, like, a mass attack on, like, a stadium or something like that, that they fear the possibility of drones, you know, maybe like a swarm of them, like bees or something like that, going over a stadium, all of them being weaponized. So that's one of our sci-fi horror scenarios, I guess, for the future. It's interesting you talk about that, and that's where, again, you know, the FAA is really going to have to be on top of things here, Nate, to make sure that can never happen.
So I'm just envisioning now a swarm of ISIS and jetpacks coming right at us. What do we do? Yeah. Jetpacks are never going to happen, Rick. Give that one up. We're done. Never happening, man. Ever.
What a way to die. Because it first starts with like, oh, my God, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen right before you die. That was how many people ever experienced that. You know, that would be pretty far out there. All the rest of these ones were, you know, well within the bounds of things that actually did happen. Yours was pretty straightforward. I'm awarding you a point. I'm saying you were right. You said major advancements in smartphones. And it's hard to remember exactly where they were in February of 2012. But there were, I think, a lot less features, a lot less functionality capability than today. I easily gave you that point because you're right about that. They have come a long, long way in 4 years. Now they're involved in e-commerce to a great degree. So you're absolutely right on that one.
Yeah, and I don't really want to take too much credit, but they even evolved past what I thought they would be. To think that you don't even need to have money that your phone can use. You use your phone at a checkout. You know, you go to a fast food restaurant, and you can pull up a coupon on an app and scan your coupon at the restaurant. I never saw anything like that coming 4 years ago. So in terms of that, it really is an advancement. Maybe to cut in other areas, maybe not quite as advanced as I thought we would be. But 4 years ago, if you thought you'd go in a restaurant and use a coupon off your phone to walk out of there saving 20% to get a free fry or something, then no way is that going to happen. And sure enough, it's, you know, it's commonplace now. So
it definitely is. And Of the four predictions that were made, two of these were sort of more hand-in-hand than the other ones. The other two were sort of way more out there science-y. My aforementioned jetpack one and Chris Galloway's one that we'll get to in a second. Ron Glasnap made a prediction of major expansion of Wi-Fi in metropolitan areas. And that's of the points that I awarded to the three of you guys, he was the one that I was the most borderline on. But, I mean, it has happened to a decent degree. He was probably envisioning more of a unified cloud in major cities. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I think that's where he was thinking a little bit closer to. And we're not getting that, but there is a lot more Wi-Fi in metropolitan areas. And I know that with my cable provider now that I'm not going to give them a free plug, but apparently I am now privy to areas in a lot of different places of the country where there are clouds that I can plug into. So we've had a decent degree of that. It's been probably more patchwork than Ron thought it was going to be, but I had to give him the point anyways. I don't think he's been wrong. There have been major advancements in that.
Yeah, and I'd say he deserves a point too, and not the way he envisioned it, but if you go to an establishment now and they don't have Wi-Fi, you may not ever go back there again. So everybody has Wi-Fi, and it expands outside their building. And so, yeah, I agree. I've experienced the hotspots from the cable companies as well, but also virtually any store you walk into, grocery store, restaurant, they all have Wi-Fi. So you do have some dead zones still, but way more Wi-Fi availability than there was about 4 years ago. No question about that.
Absolutely. So we agree he deserves the point. I saved this prediction for last out of the whole bunch, out of all the categories, because it's the one that really blew us away 4 years ago on this. And it's funny because when you look at the predictions we're making technologically for the next 4 years, they're much more along the lines of what Chris was doing here. I think all of us were way more forward-thinking this time around. He was the most forward-thinking by far. I remember that when we were doing this 4 years ago, I was not even fully aware of what 3D printing was. Chris said there would be a lot of expansion in 3D printing, and if you look up online, you can find that it's been around in one form or another since 1984, but that's kind of like how the internet supposedly has been around since like 1969. Like, we're not talking beta type whatever stuff, you know. It's only been in the last couple of years that this has really been mainstream. And Chris was right about that, and this is what I appreciate, is that he tries to dig deep on these things and come up with things here. And I always like when I have to go in there and say, gee, what's that? And, you know, so much of the time with Chris, I really end up learning something. All of us these days have a good idea of what 3D printing is. But in just listening to it, what we did the last time around, it was fun because you and I were just speaking like with almost like with childlike wonder of like, oh, my God, you're going to be able to do this and print actual objects and whatever. And do we have 3D printers in every home at this point? No. It's only barely in the last year or so gotten to the point of where these machines are being made available for commercial use, home use, whatever. And even then, they're still somewhat expensive. But it's getting there, and 3D printing has been a big part of the consciousness of the last 4 years. We've even seen it in things like construction. It's starting to go to work now in the medical fields. So that's the one that you and I said 4 years ago. You and I just had our jaws drop when we were talking about, you know, Chris's prediction, and you and I were kind of learning about it on the fly. And it's the easiest of all of these judgment calls to award him a point on that because he was very right.
Yeah, and it's like I said, you know, there must be some balance in the universe because he had the most polar opposite pick in this thing with the president thing. But that's got to be the most insightful pick of everything we talked about because 4 years ago, I hadn't heard of 3D printing from anything. And you and I are pretty informed individuals. We've heard of most stuff. And for somebody to throw something out there, I'd never heard of it, didn't have a clue in the world it existed. And 4 years later, it's really on the edge of being mainstream. Very insightful. Props to him. That's the most insightful pick of the whole competition, in my opinion. Big time.
I agree. I'm going to say the most insightful one as well. And, yeah, if I could give him more than 1 point on that, I would. But just in tallying them all up, 1 point per thing here on being right, even with that one, it's all pretty jammed up. 3 points for Chris here, 4 for Ron, 5 for me and you. We don't have a tiebreaker this time around. We do. We are on the 2012 to 2016. We do have it for the next 4 years. We're going to use the last category, whoever's the closest to being right on that one here. So with nothing to separate you and I, we were tied for the most correct predictions here, 5 and 7 categories, albeit, again, a couple of those categories, it was multiple picks per. So it's not like you and I are saying we were 5 for 7 because there were sub-picks on some of the categories. But we all did pretty well. Again, you and I would say unofficially Chris had the greatest prediction, single prediction of the bunch. But as far as accuracy goes, buddy, it was down to me and you.
All right, we tied for the championship. We'll take it. it's not golf. There's no playoff. It's like soccer. Sorry, we tied. We're co-champions. The way it works. Beautiful stuff.
Yep. Yep. Well, we're going to have all that coming your way on 700. We're going to be getting into the next one here, and we're going to be burying this time's time capsule. We unearthed the time capsule at the beginning of this show, and again, we are putting it back into the ground with a new set of predictions for the next 4 years. We've even kind of expanded a little bit, like on the political category, not just who's going to be president, but who's going to be the vice president as well. And that's where it leads to some real divergence as we're going through our picks, as we're anticipating this for the next 4 years. But, again, I love whenever we do the really forward-looking kind of diverse stuff here in the lounge, the thing that kind of exemplifies what the show is all about. And with you being an original FDH Lounge dignitary, along with me, buddy, and along with you being our director of research, there's nobody better to do this with to go back and revisit what you and I said 4 years ago when we were announcing what the predictions were, to recap them and analyze them at this point, and then subsequently to get into the next set of predictions. Couldn't ask for anything more than to do this with you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thanks again, Rick. I look forward to the next one when we look into the next 4 years. Thank you again.
Absolutely. I appreciate it so much, my friend, as I'm sure to all the listeners out there. A great one for $6.99, everybody. And stay tuned for $700 when we break down our predictions, the FDH Lounge February 29th time capsule for the next 4 years. Thanks for joining us today.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.